I would like you to read with me in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Now in this verse, sin is likened to a color. Red, scarlet and crimson. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now we'll turn over to Isaiah 6. Now, in this portion, sin is likened to leprosy. Verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. A man of unclean lips. The thought of leprosy is contained in those words. Now I'd like you to turn to Isaiah 38. And it would seem in verse 17 that sin here is likened to a burden. It may be someone has a burden of sin tonight. You would like to get rid of it. Well, you can. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. One commentary says, consigned my sins to oblivion. That's Isaiah 38 and verse 17. I'd like you to turn over to Isaiah 43. And I'm going to read you in verse 22. Now in this portion, sin is likened to a debt. That's a fact that we see prominent in the Gospel according to Luke. We are sinners who owe a debt of sin to God. I have blotted out as a thick cloud. I'm sorry, I read the sin is like a cloud. I read the other verse, Father. I blotted out as a cloud thy transgressions and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. The verse I had intended to read first was Isaiah 40, verse 25, and here is the thought of sin as a debt. I, even I, am he that blotteth out the transgression for mine own sake, and will not thy sins. Now I'm going to read finally in Isaiah 53. And while I'm reading this, you might bear in mind that these words are language of the remnant of Israel in a coming day when they see the Lord Jesus coming glory returning to earth. That is when he comes to the Mount of Olives. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. There's verse 4. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But, these are the words I want to emphasize tonight. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. For the chastisement which leads to our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, a singular word really, with his bruise, we are healed. And I'll read the other verse. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord, Jehovah that is, hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that's all I'm going to read. And so, Isaiah, the evangelical prophet, as he has been called, speaks about sin in different ways. But you know, Isaiah points us to Calvary, where we can be cleansed from our sin. Now, sin is likened to a color. In Isaiah 1 and 18, and I wouldn't know the multitudes of men and women and boys and girls who have responded to this invitation and have been forgiven all their sins and have been cleansed from sin's awful guilt. You know, dear friend, you'll never be saved until you acknowledge before God you're a lost, guilty sinner on the way to hell. And turn to God from your sin and receive the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And trust the precious blood he shed. Because you know your sins are a very serious matter. Your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and they'll separate you from your God for all eternity if you die in your sins. And if ever you're going to know spiritual healing, that is the salvation of your soul, and be cleansed from the guilt of sin, it's going to be through the precious blood of Christ. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. But you must first of all face up to your sins. You are a sinner, and you have sinned against God. And that is the most serious aspect of sin. It has gravely affronted your God. It has insulted him. And every sin is an insult to the holy majesty of God. And until you face up to your sin, you'll never be saved. Until you repent before God and acknowledge I'm a lost and guilty sinner, you'll never know what it is to be cleansed from the guilt of your sins. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow.
though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Some have said, come, let us reason together, really means come, let us settle the matter. Are you prepared to settle the matter of your sins before God? There is cleansing from sin, apart from human effort, apart from human merit, through the precious shed blood of Calvary. Why does it say, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow? Well, cotton fabric was twice dyed in scarlet dye, and your sins are scarlet in the sight of God. They're so glaring in His sight. You see, dear one, your sins are permanent. Apart from the grace of God, they stain your soul. It's not blackness that's the figure of sin here. It's scarlet and crimson. Your sins are startling. Your sins are glaring. The cotton fabric won't become as white as snow except by destroying the fabric altogether. I want to tell you, dear friend, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be just like the wool that has been completely cleared of the dye, or like undyed wool, because it was the wool that was dyed with crimson dye. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And there's only one agent can cleanse your scarlet, your crimson sin, the precious blood of Jesus. I wonder, will you come to God for cleansing tonight? Now in Isaiah 6, Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up, and His whole, and His skirts or train fill the temple. And above the throne there are seraphims with six wings, and one is crying to another saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door move at the voice of Him that cries, and the house is filled with smoke, or the fragrant smoke of burning incense. Now, says Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, I am a leper. That's the attitude of Isaiah as he sees the Lord upon His high and lifted up throne. Well, John tells us the one whom Isaiah saw was the Lord Jesus, Jehovah of hosts. This spake Isaiah when he saw His glory and spake of Him. Did you ever think that your sins are like leprosy? They render you unclean in God's sight, defiled. You know, leprosy is a loathsome thing. and sin is loathsome. You know, leprosy produces misery in the one who suffers from it. And I needn't tell you, although the Bible does admit there is pleasures, there are the pleasures of sin. Yet after all, sin brings misery in its train. And finally, as I speak with bated breath, it brings eternal misery under God's judgment. I hope you realize I'm speaking with tenderness tonight. I hope you realize I'm speaking with a lot of feeling. Sin will bring you terrible misery for all eternity. Eternal punishment. Eternal fire. For me. It all staggers me. Oh, may God help you. If you're not saved tonight, that you're going for God's salvation. Your sin is like a color, red. Apart from the grace of God, the stain will never be removed. Apart from the blood of Christ, it will never be removed. And you're like a leper before God. And you're unclean. Oh, sin is such a dreadful thing. Sin. It makes the sinner so loathsome, so defiled before God. I wonder, is there anyone here tonight, and you have to admit, I've got a burden. I've got a burden of sin. I'm burdened with the thought of my sin. It meets me, it seems, at every corner. You know, when I was only a lad, and I was saved when I was a lad, I remember thinking about my sin. And I thought about eternity. I said, oh God, this life is very short. Eternity will never end. Could it be that I'm going to spend eternity in hell? Oh, God forbid. And I remember getting down by my bedside some night and praying a very simple prayer as a lad and saying, oh God, if there's one thing I desire, it is to know thee. There's nothing so important to me. There's nothing that I want more than thy salvation. Is it any wonder I got saved when I was young? I was burdened. A burden, maybe, that's too heavy for you. Some of you are finding the burden too heavy to bear. Well, look to the burden bearer. Look to the one who died for you on the cross. And realize and acknowledge, he bore the burden for me on Calvary, and trust him as your Savior, and the burden will be gone. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. Is that your experience? You long to have peace with God. And you have great bitterness. Do you know before God heals, God wounds? God says in his word, I will wound and I will heal.
Have you been wounded? God is wanting to heal you. He's wanting to save you.
And He's entreating you. He's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Now Hezekiah says, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. I think that shows us very clearly that Hezekiah was a forgiven sinner. He was a loved sinner, and he was a forgiven sinner. Do you know that you're loved? Do you know God loves you? Do you know He's loved you so much as to give His Son for you? And now He wants to forgive you. Won't you be foolish if you turn down the offer? Die in your sins. And you know what the Lord Jesus said? If you die in your sins, whither I go, ye cannot come. He has gone to heaven. You'll never go to heaven in your sins. You'll either die in Christ, or you'll die in your sins. What is it going to be? May I hurry on now and just remind you that your sins are like a debt that you owe to God, and every day the debt is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And do you know you'll never be able to pay that debt in eternity if you die in your sins? You won't have, for the want of a better term, time to pay the debt. Not in all eternity. The debt is growing. But do you know that God wants to blot out the debt? And that's the idea here. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Can you imagine a big bill against you? And then the bill is paid and the bill is cancelled. And you say, my debt is paid. My debt is cancelled. Do you know God wants to cancel your debt tonight? All the sins of your lifetime. You say, oh, what about the sins that I'll commit in the future? All our sins were future sins when Jesus died. When I trusted Christ, all the sins of my life were forgiven. Wouldn't you like to know that your sin, your debt of sin, is gone? Do you know the Bible says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin? You say, how can that be? Well, don't you know Christ has died for you? Do you not know He was the sin bearer? And the wrath of God due to sin descend upon Him on Calvary. Do you know if you own that you're a guilty sinner in true repentance and receive the Lord Jesus who died for you on Calvary, the blood of Christ will cleanse you from the guilt of sin, for when you receive of the Lord Jesus or trust Him, God will put your sins away from before His face, never to remember them against you anymore, and away from you as far as their condemning power is concerned, and you'll never be in hell. You'll spend eternity with the Lord in heaven. You see, your sins are like a cloud between you and your God. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Turn unto me, for I have redeemed thee, says the Lord on this occasion. You know your sins are like a cloud between you and your God that hide his face from, and you'll be separated from him forever if you die in your sin. The Word of God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What's the glory of God? It's God's character in that verse, and especially his righteousness, of which we all come short. My dear friend, all have sinned. And you know that word there means to miss the mark. I read about an Indian who fired an arrow at his target, but it fell short, and he said in his own language, "Oh, I have sinned." He meant, "I've come short." You know you've come short, and you continue to come short of the glory of God. You're a sinner in your sins without Christ. But there's salvation for you. All unrighteousness is sin, the Bible says. Not just what is absolutely wrong, but what is not just exactly right. The Bible says that sin is lawlessness. It's rebellion against the will of God. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Not only doing wrong, but a refusing to do what we know is good. And remember, as I said earlier on, if I remember rightly, the most serious aspect of sin is it's against God. It's an insult to the majesty of God and the holiness of God. And that's what concerned David in that penitential psalm number 51. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. But he had sinned against a fellow soldier. He had sinned against Bathsheba. He had sinned against Israel. But what concerned him most was, it was against God. Do you know whatsoever is not of faith is sin, the Bible says in Romans 14 and 23. And you know, if your conscience isn't clear about doing something, and you do it, that's sinning. Unbelief is sin. And the worst sin that you've ever committed has been to reject God's Son. But now let me close with these words. In Isaiah 53, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Ah, they'll say, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We thought God was punishing him for his own sins. But it wasn't his sins for which he was punished, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. You notice there are four aspects of sin here. Transgression, iniquity, and then sin is an act of enmity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Sin is an act of enmity against God. And sin is a spiritual disease. And that's suggested by the words, with his stripes we are healed. Let me remind you, transgression is when a law is infringed. There's a law, but it has been disobeyed. Limits have been set which have been overstepped. But iniquity is lawlessness. It's rebellion against God, and I won't do the will of God in spite of divine restraint and the restraint of man. I'm determined to have my own way and not do God's will. That's iniquity. But every act of sin is an act of enmity against God. And you have a disease that is affecting all the members of your body as well as staining your soul. And making you spiritually sick, the disease of sin. But let me point you to Calvary. They will say in that day when he comes in glory, he was wounded for our transgressions. That word wounded there has been rendered pierced and might remind us of the one who was pierced on Calvary. He was bruised, or it could be rendered crushed, that is under the weight of our iniquities. The chastisement which leads to our peace was upon him, in order that we might have peace. He went down under the judgment of God, and with his stripes, with his bruise, we are healed. What's the idea? The stroke of divine justice due to sin fell upon him. But because it did, you can be healed. Turn your eyes to Calvary, sinner. My mind goes back to a little room in North Saskatchewan. A young woman weeping. She had spent days trying to get saved. But all the scriptures we repeated didn't seem to help her. And by, she said, "It's all dark. I can't see it." She stumbled over believing and receiving and accepting. It was all dark. But you know, by and by, it just amounted to this. She got a sight of the Lord Jesus dying in her place on Calvary, and she trusted him as her own personal Savior. She said, "He was wounded for me. He was bruised for me. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes, I am healed." I'll leave my dear brother George to continue. Let us pray that God will bless the word as he speaks.